Well, it is so wonderful to be with you again, and looking into your beautiful faces, Tammy. I'm very, very. I have to ask the Lord not to covet your position, and being the pastor here. It's a beautiful place, and I want to thank you for coming and worshiping God this morning with us. And we're just beginning. Now, this is the second in three that I'll be presenting today, and this is the first of 3 weeks on creation. And I think that's an excellent kind of focus for your church. And now we've come to our worship time together, and I would like to look at Calvary and the geologic column, the rainbow connection. And so I'd like to build, we'll start with Calvary, because this is the time when we worship God. This is not a time for just an academic lecture. No, no, no. We're here to worship. And this is my heart cry this morning, that my heart and your heart, that we will ascend in true worship, like the beautiful music we've had. And we thank God for our praise team, Youth for Christ, the nice four there, clever name. We're glad that our youth are for Christ, aren't you? It's wonderful. We want to encourage their faithfulness to Jesus. And after my little remarks, we'll ask the praise team to come again for a special music they have, and I'll introduce them at that time. But we want to start with Calvary. Even in this creation weekend, so on. The question is there a connection between geology and my personal religion? Can the explanation of the origin of the geologic column either overturn or establish the forgiveness of my sin? In other words, here we are to worship. We must start with Calvary. To us, the blood of Christ means everything. There was a text I reread recently, that just I call a stop me dead in my tracks text. Matthew 26:28, Jesus held up the cup and he said, "This is my blood of the New Testament, which is shed for many for the remission of sins." Isn't that a beautiful passage? That stopped me dead in my tracks. What would you pay for that text? That's our salvation. That's why there is a living water fellowship. That text. We're starting with Calvary. We're talking about evolution, creation. Wait a minute. The geologic column. Could it be that the geologic column, if interpreted in a certain way, in an evolutionary way, could take that cup out of the hand of Jesus, remove the blood of Jesus to forgive our sins? This is why I am so concerned about this topic and that we treat it at the worship hour. Because the most precious thing is that blood of Jesus to forgive our sins. And so I want to share with you my concern for this. Now take a look at the geologic column. There it is. Now, it's stacked rock layers, strata from our Earth's crust. And these simple fossils are found at the bottom, while complex fossils and life forms, of course, are higher up. Did the column form during 570 million years or during God's flood? And what difference does it make? Should we even take church time to talk about these things? And so this is what we want to do. This morning we talked about the first angel's message, that God restored to the earth her story. 6 days, and then even the global flood is part of the first angel's message. There's kind of a rainbow right there in the first angel's message, if we let the rainbow represent the global flood. Now here's this geologic column. And what is the relationship between Calvary and the geologic column? Does the answer impact Calvary? Well, let's repeat the question. does the explanation of how the geologic column was formed determine whether Calvary forgives sins? That's the important question. That should be of interest to any Christian, any Seventh-day Adventist Christian, that we should then take some time to have a series, a three-week series on creation and evolution, because it is front and center to our salvation. There's whether or not Pastor Tammy has a gospel or not. This is why this is so important. What is the connection between stacked sedimentary layers and Calvary? If there's a relationship, I want to know about it, because I want to trust in the blood of Jesus. Well, to begin answering this question, we will consider three ways that Calvary saves, and then I want to look at how evolution claims the column was formed. So we want to begin with the Scripture, and we will review these that you and I love and know. Genesis 2:17, "Of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, thou shalt not eat of it. For in the day that you eat, you shall die." Sin in relationship to death. Here's the first statement, that the wages of sin is death. You go against the will of God, the sweet will of God, and then there's the result. We don't have to wait to the New Testament to find that truth. God's warning establishes a causal connection between sin and death, and this is the foundation of the atonement. And you'll see where we'll move here in a minute. Romans 6:23, "For the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life." Now, if death is not the wage of sin, then Jesus' death on the cross is meaningless and saves no one. There must be this connection. Does evolution destroy that connection? This is so important. Now, second, Calvary saves because human sin caused death to first appear in all creatures. Romans 5:12, "Through one man sin entered the world." And here it is, death through sin. Romans 5:14, "Death reigned from Adam." And I have there, not from trilobites, not from the dinosaurs. Are you with me on this? Not from blue-green algae. No, according to the Scripture, we should not find dead animals prior to human beings. This is remarkable. Now, Romans 8:20 and 21, "For the creation was subjected to futility." This means the lower creatures. They were subjected to death, not of its own will, but because of Him who subjected it, in hope that the creation will be set free from its slavery, from corruption. What does that mean? Aging and dying. This is, even the origin of animal death is traced to human sin. That's remarkable. Animals don't sin, but even their death is related, according to the Bible, to the sin of Adam and Eve. Now, isn't that remarkable? That's important, because that means that we should not find any death in the geologic column before Adam's sin. Oh, brothers and sisters, let's keep that in mind and let's see what happens. Death must not appear before human sin if the cross is to be meaningful. We will notice where death appears in the geologic column in a minute. Third, Calvary saves because Jesus' death on the cross was the wage of sin for us. Isaiah 53, "He poured out Himself to death. He Himself bore the sin of many. Christ died for our sins according to the Scripture." If death is not the wage of sin, then Jesus' death on the cross is meaningless, as we said before, and saves nobody. If we destroy the sin-death causality, the atonement is undermined. Now, watch how James Hutton and others tell us about the explanation of the geologic column and see how that tragically destroys the sin-death causality. Now, Hutton and Stephen Jay Gould says that, you know, the column was formed over millions of years. And no, here it is. We put this on the screen to kind of give an illustration. You start on the left side, and you move up from the red up to the green. That's where the dinosaurs are, and then finally to the blue. And there, you and I, we're standing at the top. This is according to the evolutionary theory. 540 or 70 million years. There was one time, and only that red part was there, according to the evolutionary theory. Now watch. All those animals that were living in the red, like the shells and so on, then the dinosaurs, they were all, according to evolutionary theory, living, and the most sad thing, dying. Dying before Adam and Eve, before humans. So we have death before sin. Oh, that should raise a huge red question mark over evolutionary theory. It's destroying the sin-death causality. What does this evolutionary explanation of the formation do to the geologic column? What does it do to Calvary? Watch what Edward Hitchcock says. Now, I'm hesitant, but I wanted to read this to you. This is clear back in 1840. The general interpretation of the Bible has been that until the fall of man, death did not exist in the world, even among the inferior animals. For the Bible asserts that by man came death, and by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin. But geology teaches us that myriads of animals lived and died before the creation of man. This geologist even pointed that out. Oh my, what a serious thing. Now look at John Hitchcock. He's a theologian. I'm so sad and I'm embarrassed, but I want to share this with you. Until comparatively recent times, the ancient myth of the origin of evil and the fall of man was quite reasonably assumed to be history. We know today, however, that the conditions that were to cause human mortality, that is death, were already part of the natural order prior to the emergence of man and prior to the first human sin. Oh, my. Do you see how the atonement is now really being trampled and destroyed? Look what Carl Schmitz-Mormon says. The notion of the traditional view of redemption as reconciliation and ransom from the consequences of Adam's fall is, what's the next word?
Nonsense.
Oh, brothers and sisters, I pray that we do not believe that. This is what is the result if we believe evolutionary theory. This result is the most tragic implication of evolutionary theory. Here's a brother that is, I'm not being sarcastic when I say a brother to this brother, Carl Schmitz-Mormon. I hope that he will change. He's nonsense to him. For anybody who knows about the evolutionary background to the existence in the modern world, he is really telling the truth if we believe evolutionary theory. The cross is nonsense. Oh, man. Do you see why it's important to have a few weeks to look at creation and evolution? It touches why you and I worship, if it's true. It removes, it guts the very heart of Christianity. Now, Nigel Cameron saw this implication. I'm so happy for this quotation. Look at this. Evolutionary theory implies that Adam was under the curse of physical death from the beginning. What does this imply theologically? Cameron answers, quote, "This overthrows the sin-death causality, and in so doing pulls the rug from under the feet of the evangelical understanding of the atonement." Oh, this is profound. We need then to see what is God's answer to this great challenge. So far, the evolutionary account of the origin of the geologic column has destroyed Calvary. Here is a picture of it. Without God's flood, then we have the geologic column constructed over 3.7 billion years, 570 million years. And what does that do? There's no causal connection between sin and death. That is sad. The wages of sin is not death. And so that, Christ's death is not the wage of sin. The atonement is nullified. Think about it. If evolutionary theory is true, the atonement is nullified because we have death before sin. And so Jesus' death isn't the wage of sin. Oh, brothers and sisters, that's horrible. Now, what is the solution to this fatal difficulty? Can God's global flood come to the rescue? See, we have Calvary and the geologic column, the rainbow connection. See, that's the question. Can God's global flood come to the rescue? If so, how? There we have a picture. God's global flood forms the geologic column after sin, and it establishes Calvary, as we shall see. There's the geologic column. There we have Calvary, and I've put the rainbow connecting them. Now, please, whenever you see that rainbow, I want you to translate in your mind, that means flood. I only put it there to represent the flood. So we could say geologic column and Calvary, the flood connection. I just put a beautiful rainbow, and I'm so happy. Aren't you glad that God used the rainbow to symbolize His everlasting covenant, that He will never send a flood again? Aren't you glad for that? And that represents a wonderful truth. Now watch how the rainbow takes on fantastic significance. It's much more significant than just the flood won't come again. You watch how that beautiful rainbow takes on the most fantastic message in the sky. All right. First, the flood was global, not local. Hence, could form the global geologic column recently after sin. A local flood won't work. Are you with me there? We've got to have a global flood because the geologic column is global. All right, now three reasons suggest the global nature of the flood. One, the mountains were covered. Wow, if the mountains, the pre-flood mountains were covered, not Mount Everest. Don't let anybody tell you, well, you crazy people believe that the flood covered Mount Everest. No, Mount Everest was made after the flood as the continents were coming together and they were buckling up and so on. These were the lower pre-flood mountains. But if they were covered, that shows it's global. Number two, God commanded, this is so simple, God commanded Noah to build an ark. Why build a boat if the flood were local? Are you with me there? If it's local, all you have to do is migrate. He had 120 years. Surely he could get out of the way in 120 years. But then, Noah would be working his way to salvation. Oh, there's no salvation but in the ark. Aren't you glad for that? Now, number three, God promised that the flood would never happen again on earth. Genesis 9:11. If the flood were local, God's promise not to send another flood would be broken each time a local flood happened. And there have been hundreds of local floods, and God's word would have been compromised hundreds of times. Second, the flood destroyed the earth. Genesis 1, he says, I will never again flood to destroy the earth. So that shows that in the reformation of the crust, we would expect to have the geologic column form. The flood confirms Calvary. During God's flood, the basic portions of the fossil-filled geologic column were constructed after the entrance of sin, and this is the key point to the gospel. We can talk more about the later in question and answers this afternoon, because this afternoon we're going to talk about the Yellowstone fossil forest and God's providential leading in responding to that great challenge. We'll take you there by pictures. And then we can ask some questions. Maybe you'd like to ask about the dinosaurs and the geologic column. We can do that later. Now, here's the effect that God's global flood has upon Calvary. So, there we have, before the flood, see the rainbow, that represents, of course, God's flood. Before that, we have the animals all living on the same plane together. Dinosaurs, humans, all in the top layer. Probably no geologic column like we know it today. there were some fossils maybe forming after sin on the sea floors and so on. And then God, because of the sin, had to enter with a judgment flood. And during that judgment flood, in ways which are being studied, the significant portions of the geologic column, like we saw the coal seams and so forth, were laid down after sin. And so watch the conclusion. With God's flood, you see, with God's flood, then we have the causal connection between sin and death is preserved because the flood makes the column after sin. And so those animals in the fossiliferous geologic column do not show that the sin-death causality has been disconnected. No, because they're put in the column after sin. So we don't have to worry. And then Christ's death is the wage of sin. The atonement is preserved. My. So there it is. This is the rainbow connection between Calvary and the geologic column. Now, let's put our sunglasses on. S-O-N. We'll look through the scripture. Let's go out into nature. There's the geologic column. This is the Grand Canyon. Look at those layers. How'd they get there? I wonder if these boys and girls ever wondered how those layers got their impact, their salvation. Well, let's just go quickly. It's an amazing story out there, and it's very deep. You look down to the Grand Canyon, and you can see far down, been exposed. And if you want to ride down, these folks are good. I like to ride down, because if you ride down, you get to ride back up. That's a long way down there, I tell you. Beautiful birds on the way. Sometimes you can see some of the cats there. They see you, but you don't see them. Now, these folks have to walk back up. Now, those people right there are looking right about the Red Wall Limestone. You can see fossils there. And you can do whitewater rafting at the bottom. Now, there's we've seen before. Look at that red line there. That is where the Grand Canyon is. Now, let's take some look at some of those fossils there. These are the British, in the Burgess Shale, which reveals some of that. Strange creatures there. But now take a look. There's the red limestone there, Red Wall Limestone. Those fossils, according to the evolutionary theory, were living and dying before Adam sinned. And that's where you would see them right there. Now, let's go up a little higher. Let's go up to the green area. The dinosaurs, here they are. We believe in dinosaurs. They actually lived. We can talk about that later. You can find them in North Dakota and so on. And here's the Dinosaur National Monument. Look at that man over to the right. Do you see him over there? Right there. Let's see. He's way off to the right. That's a human being there. Now, the question is, do dinosaurs all get together so they can die? It's time to die, dinosaurs. They all come together. No. This is a massive sweep of aquatic water that brought all these dinosaurs together. Evidence of a global flood. There's a dinosaur footprints. They're tracks. One is a herbivore and one is a carnivore. You can see the ripple marks there. There they are. Now, there's Dr. Jensen. He's lying down in Colorado on the collarbone of one of the megasaurs, the largest dinosaurs ever found. Look at that collarbone. Look how big that dinosaur is. There they are, destroyed, no longer living. And I'm glad for that. Look how big they would be. Now, this is Sue. This is in the University, this is in the Field Museum in Chicago. $4 million for this lady. Pretty expensive dowry, right? $4 million. Now, look at those teeth. All these dinosaurs living and dying, according to evolutionary theory, ever before Adam and Eve sinned. Now, this dinosaur, they never had to go to the dentist. You knock one tooth out, you see those little fellas there? They come right up. Well, I don't want to be a dinosaur just for that feature. Now, here we come to the top, to the Cenozoic portion. And that CEO, does he ever wonder how his quarry, all those varves there, how the explanation of how they were deposited matters to his salvation? So, reviewing, without God's flood, the atonement is nullified. With God's flood, the atonement is preserved. And so we have the rainbow connection between Calvary and the geologic column. That rainbow in the sky is actually telling us now, yes, there will never be a flood of water again. But you know what? Because there was a flood, the blood of Jesus still forgives our sins. The next time you see a rainbow in the sky, would you please remember that message? Did you know that the rainbow sends a gospel message? Have you ever thought about it that way? It sends the sweetest gospel message there ever was. So every time you go to the Grand Canyon, wouldn't you love to see a rainbow over the Grand Canyon? There, if a geologist is standing there, how did this Grand Canyon ever come about? If there was a rainbow, God's handwriting in the sky, His beautiful message, my flood, don't forget my flood. And remember, because there was a flood that made this column after sin, my blood still forgives your sins, my dear geologist. You know, I wanted always to see a rainbow out in the wild. And I didn't take this picture, but as we close now, we close our little time together, I want to end on that rainbow in the Grand Canyon. And here are some of the scenes. Now, this is Imperial Point. And right there, you see in the center, is Hayden's Peak. Now, way off in the distance, I don't know if you can see it in the slide, do you see a little rainbow there? Good, good. Now, the last picture that I have is focusing on Hayden's Peak, right in the center. And we'll go there in just a second. But focus your attention right on Hayden's Peak. And a photographer, this is not computer-enhanced picture. This is an actual, real picture that a photographer got and I was able to get. And we'll close with this picture as we think of the connection of Calvary and the geologic column, the rainbow connection. There it is. There's Hayden's Peak, and there's God's rainbow telling us that, yes, it was the flood that created this, and that my blood still forgives our sin. And we're thankful to God for the rainbow connection between Calvary and the geologic column. And so now, as we close our church service together, I'm so happy that Youth for Christ, our praise team, can come and lead us now to praise God that His blood still forgives our sins and that we can trust in Him and that He cares for us.
Dear God, we thank You for Your touch. That You've come in our midst today and touched each one of us. You've touched our hearts with this message. We thank You for the rainbow and the promise that is there for us, for each one of us, Lord, for Your salvation, that You love us, You haven't abandoned us, that You are still very involved with our salvation, and that You will be coming soon. And we just pray that You would encourage us today with the hope that You have left us and the assurance of Your sacrifice, dear Lord. We thank You. In Jesus' precious name, amen.